God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you all in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. They're pretty similar. The first question is, what is the meaning of life? And the second question is real similar, as I mentioned. What is my purpose in life? These questions, or something similar, hang around the necks of so many people in our world today. Well, this morning we're going to talk about how life now has meaning. We're going to walk through looking real quickly at the origins of the meaninglessness of life with which we struggle, along with how Christ is bringing meaning to our lives. You see, Jesus' resurrection gives purpose to our life in this world. But before Christ enters our life, we have a problem. And our problem is this: it is meaninglessness of life. And that is a problem that hangs around us from the moment that we were conceived in our mother's womb. Many people struggle with struggling with what is their purpose in life. And what is it, not only what is their purpose in life, what is the purpose in even dying, for that matter? Why is it that we're here? And why is it that disease comes? Why does God allow such and such a thing to happen to people? And the reason why these things come up is because of something in history called the fall. It took place all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You see, the fall robbed all of humanity of their life, robbed humanity of their hope, robbed them of their future. The devil came in and deceived the woman, deceived Eve. Adam disobeyed. And as a result of this fall, God expelled them from paradise. Within paradise, they had life full of meaning. They had life full of hope. They had a future to look forward to, but outside of paradise, no more. And so many people today still wrestle with, kind of almost like bumping around in a room in the darkness, trying to feel their way around. They're looking for meaning and purpose in their life. You see, it's because of this sin that started with Adam and Eve. Our only future that we have to look forward to is death and damnation. St. Paul said in our epistle reading today that for just as in Adam all die. And in deference to those in the medical profession who are trying to figure out how to cure diseases and how to keep us alive longer, dealing with the wonders of chemistry to keep us kicking just a little bit longer, we are trying on our own to beat this enemy called death, trying to beat this enemy called sickness. But you see, in many ways, our sinful nature blinds us. It blinds us and blinds all of humanity to what is real. It's like the women in this morning's text. In the gospel reading, they went to the tomb. They went there to finish Jesus' burial preparations. And they got there and he was missing. And they didn't know what it meant. And then after the angels appeared to them, they went back and told the apostles. And the apostles thought that they were out of their minds. They didn't realize what it meant. They thought the women were crazy. And so what did Peter do? He gets up and he runs to the tomb and he looks inside the tomb and he sees the strips of linen laying off to the side. And even Peter walks away wondering what all this means. You see, they thought Jesus was dead. They thought Jesus was dead. They had lost their hope. They had lost sight of what God was calling them to. They were hoping that Jesus would be the one to rescue them from their enemies. But in fact, Jesus did rescue them from their enemies. They just didn't realize it. Because you see, it is through Jesus Christ that every single one of us here today has meaning in our life, whether you realize it or not. You see, the work that Jesus did upon the cross, the work that Jesus did by rising from the dead, that is what precisely gives you and me meaning in our life. Jesus suffered and he died. And why did he do that? Well, he suffered and died to take care of our sin problem. That is the problem that expelled humanity from paradise. And so that had to be solved. That problem had to be fixed. And so Jesus suffered and he died to take care of our sin problem. Now we can check that box off. Taken care of. Done. But not only did Jesus suffer and die, he also rose again from the dead, taking care of our death problem. And at least six different times in our gospel reading today, there is some reference to Jesus' resurrection. You see, all of this work was necessary. It was necessary so that all of humanity, past, present, and future, that means you and me today, that all of us could be forgiven of our sins. And this, dear friends, is what gives meaning to all of humanity. You're struggling around, bumping in the dark. Jesus' death and resurrection is what gives you purpose and meaning. The people have been looking forward to this for a very long time. The people of old, centuries and centuries and centuries ago in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the Messiah who was to come. You read the accounts of the people's exodus when they were imprisoned in Egypt as slaves for well over 400 years. And how God came in and rescued them. And God led them out. Hundreds of thousands of people led them out. And then he allowed them to pass through the Red Sea on dry ground. And as their enemies were chasing them, trying to get them back, they entered into the sea and God drowned them in the Red Sea. St. Paul says that this prefigures our baptism into Christ. How these people were baptized into Moses and in the cloud of the sea. Likewise, God was rescuing these people from their enemy, God is rescuing us. This points forward to God rescuing us from our enemies, which is sin, death, and the devil. Old Testament predictions, prophecies foretold Jesus' coming. We read the text on Good Friday from Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 that talked about the suffering servant. And these Old Testament people, they knew these passages. Many of them, they knew them by heart because this is what they were anticipating. This is what they were looking forward to, that someone would come and suffer on their behalf and so that their sins could be atoned for. Even Jesus himself predicted his sufferings many, many, many times as he was walking with his disciples and teaching them. You see, due to his work, due to all of these things, and due to Jesus' work, the forgiveness of sins is now yours, dear people of God. The forgiveness of sins is yours, and not only is it yours, the forgiveness of sins is there for you and for me to proclaim to everyone that we meet. Thanks be to God. Maybe y'all didn't hear that. Maybe we don't have enough Baptists here in this group tonight, today. Due to Jesus' work, the forgiveness of sins is now yours. Amen. Amen. Nothing else needs to be done. Jesus has paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain and he has washed it white as snow. And this means that you are now free. You are now free. And you are free. And in this freedom, God gives meaning to you and he gives meaning to me. You see, it's through this proclamation of Christ that God now offers the forgiveness of sins. And with your sins forgiven, we now have life in our living Christ. We no longer need to fear the grave. Yes, sin. Yes, sickness is still going to come our way. Yes, there's still going to be suffering. Yes, there's still going to be a grave that's going to greet all of us at one point in time or another. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus was the first one to coin the phrase for the believer that we have simply fallen asleep. When we're laid out in a box, we're not dead, we're just asleep. And one day the Lord's going to come on the last day and he's going to shake you and wake you up, say, come on, Tony, time to get up. Come on, John, time to get up. Come on, Holly, time to get up. Come on, Clutter, time to get up. He's going to wake you up. Just like he called forth to Lazarus to come out, to come forth. He is going to call you and me. And through this and because of this, you and I all now have a living hope. And this living hope is called eternal life. And with this, we now have a purpose in life. And our purpose is quite simple. It is to proclaim repentance and forgiveness to every single person we meet. Repentance and forgiveness to let every person we meet that it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've become. God loves you, and he gives you forgiveness free of charge. You see, my friends, Christ's resurrection gives purpose to our life in this world. In his name, we proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sin to all people. Life is no longer meaningless because he is not here. He is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's try this again. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen indeed. We got to just, okay, it goes like this, folks. Christ is risen, hallelujah. And then you respond with, he is risen indeed, okay? Christ is risen, hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.